welcome to the main house. We are in the dress circle at the moment. It seats approximately about 850, depending on kind of sight lines and designs of set and things. So at the moment we've got As You Like It.
Wow, this is a nice theatre. I can't believe you're going to let us come in here and play on the
destroy
furniture.
I wasn't kidding. I'm going to be recording this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You'll be great. You'll be awesome.
Now, guarantee you, because everyone listening back in the States, you could read the ingredients off of a Cheerios box, and everyone's going to go, she sounds so brilliant.
Doesn't she sound brilliant?
Intelligence.
Yeah. With my RP accent.
Yeah, it's
Hello.
Give us lots of liquid use, will you?
Liquid use. Right.
That's a wet sheet.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 288, York Theatre Royal. We arrived in York, England this week, where on Wednesday night we'll perform the European premiere of The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the York Theatre Royal, the original part of which dates back to 1744. We'll do 5 performances this week in York and then head out on our 20-city UK tour. And since we landed last Wednesday morning, we've been brushing up and making small changes to the script to make it slightly less American. We were also given a tour of this beautiful theatre from York Theatre Royal Artistic Director Damien Cruden and Stage Manager Anna Belderboss. We started our tour, as you heard, up in the dress circle, or as we call it in America, the first balcony or the mezzanine. But then we headed down into the stalls, or the orchestra, and then up on stage, where Damien gave us tips on the acoustics and how to project in this 268-year-old theatre.
Vocally, you need to kick it out.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's quite a deceptive space because from here it's very intimate.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people close. The gods will hear you if you fart on stage, so the acoustic up there is brilliant.
Okay.
It's the back of
a
dress.
Happy if we have people up there.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's the back of a dress and the back of a stalls that you've just got to kick it out to.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, and it's what it does acoustically is it's a very warm and rich space. There's hardly anything other than lath and plaster and wood in here. There's some bits of iron there, but it's a very natural space. So the voice gets a lot of warmth out of the space, but you have to work the space. You can't just think it will just do it for you. So you've got to get it out, get it over there.
Okay.
I mean, it's like a lot of cross arches in that sense. But if you sit deep on it, you've got a lot can go up there. They weren't really made for that.
Okay.
You know, we should have floor. Yes, it's in the rider. I haven't actually spoken to Paul.
Yeah, but if ambience. It's in the rider, they'll be put out. That's fine. Yeah.
That's okay.
But the main point is if you're chucking it that way,
yeah,
right,
you have to pick
it
up. Yeah. I mean, even a floor mic's not going to do that for you because it's about sound going that way.
Great. Okay. That's good to know.
I mean, these spaces were built for people to stand and do that.
And declaim. Yeah.
They declaim stuff. Yeah. So it wasn't.
Well, I won't have any problem, but they're sort of a bit relaxed.
Do they look at each other?
They listen and stuff like
and
that.
Stuff
and
like
I discourage
you.
I turn and talk.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I have to move, I do after I talk or before I do. Talking about
singers. Being able to project on a stage like this is kind of theatre 101, really, isn't it? You know, if you can't do
Well, it should be, but I'm not sure that it is, really.
Actor 101, so just.
If you can't do it in a theatre like this, I mean, which is built with acoustics in mind, I mean, you
acoustics.
You might as well go home.
Acoustics.
Go home now.
Side corner, just there.
Has anyone died on this stage?
Wait till we start telling the jokes.
Just be another something else to add to the list. Yeah. There's a place over in the corner you can chalk your name on.
We then moved into the stage right wing, and Anna took us upstage to the back wall to this large stone arch that's just about 5 feet off the stage floor.
Yeah, I'm going to show you that now because it's my most favourite bit of the entire theatre.
Well,
so this wall here at first sight looks like it's not real, but it's like totally real. So if you feel it, it's like complete stone.
Yeah.
And it used to be, I don't know if you know how well you know York, but York is full of gates. Mm. There's Monk Gate, Skelder Gate, Gilly Gate, Mickle Gate, and there are gates, and they were the gates into the city. And this was the gate that into what was the York Mint. Is that right?
Yes, although before it was a gate to the York Mint, it was a gateway into St. Leonard's precinct. So on that side of the wall was a lane, which ran along there all the way up to Peter Gate, High Peter Gate, and down onto what's now Duncan Place. But prior to that, it was just a big field in front. So that predates 12th century, so that's maybe 1100 or something like that.
Wow.
Amazing. And if you look up, you can see the arrow holes from, like, protecting it.
Yeah. So they built the Theatre Royal around this bit of the wall?
Well, no, to start with, the theatre was probably built to that side of it, uh-huh. and then it slowly grew as a building. So Mrs. Kerrigan built the theatre here after her husband, Mr. Kerrigan, who had ran the theatre company but worked in York after he died. Right. She then built a theatre. And the theatre was probably about the size of a stage to start with, running across to there. And then when she died, her scenic artist, a man called Baker, carried on. He became a manager of the company. And he carried on building up and out. So by the time you get to the end of the 1700s, you had the beginning of a Georgian theatre. So it was much narrower. So this was still outside the building at that point. Right, so the stage started about here.
Uh-huh.
And the auditorium was much narrower. And you had two levels. So you had the box level on the upper level, and then you had the pit underneath that.
All right.
And this was a lane which went behind that up to the Mint Yard, which had been created by this time over the other side of a road. There was a Royal Mint over there. And that's why this became known as Mint Yard Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way that people used to get into the theatre. So they'd go along Mint Yard Lane and then in at the other end of it.
Okay.
And in actual fact, to get to the boxes on this side, because each box in a Georgian theatre was an intimate space. So the whole dress circle was cubed up into boxes. And you go, there was an overhang over Mint Yard Lane, which people would walk out into and down the side, and there'd be a door in each box.
Wow.
And after that, they then built this wall on. So I would imagine that this whole wall here was built whilst this was a lane, and then they knocked the wall down that was inside here into there. So the rubble that sits underneath here now is a rubble from the wall that they took out here. It was one of the first royal theatres. So it got its royal patent in 1764, I think. It became a Theatre Royal, which meant it could lawfully produce drama. Mm. Up until that point in time, you couldn't do drama. You couldn't charge for drama.
Right.
So you charged for songs, and in the interval, you gave drama for free.
Well, it's an old theatre, but I dare say our jokes are older.
Yeah. Hello, I'm Anna Wallace from BBC Radio York, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week you can see us doing 5 performances of The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the York Theatre Royal. And then on Monday, June 18th, we begin our 20-city tour of the UK before settling down for 6 weeks at the Arts Theatre in London. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to our backstage tour of the York Theatre Royal. We had been taken into their black box space, and Reed Martin asked Damien how many shows a year they do here at York Theatre Royal.
It varies. We don't have a fixed pattern, but we in here we have all the youth theatre shows as well, which we produce to quite a high standard, so they get a lot of time and effort.
But you were saying that being part of the community, it seems like you guys are the centre of the
theatrical community anyway.
Well, yeah, very much so. And I think it's a big part in people's life. I mean, our pantomime every year plays to over 50,000 people. So it's, it, you know, it, and a lot of the work that we do has big, you know, has big audiences, which allows us to work for smaller audiences as well. So that there's a nice balance of people coming through the building. It's not just, you know, everybody over 65. It's, you know, there's stuff for them, but there's also a huge amount of young people engaged here. You know, a lot of work for really small children.
How many people did you say come to see your pantos?
Over 50,000. This pantomime here, though, is a noted pantomime. Our dame has been doing it for 33 years, and is the 34th this year, and is undeniably, I think, probably the greatest dame in Britain. And he's a proper dame. Oh. He is dame like dame should be. I mean, there's nothing.
And how do you define that?
Well, he's not camp.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He plays the costume.
He plays it straight.
It's a costume, does it? He plays it straight.
No,
he's no makeup.
Which is
he's
a very reduced tradition.
That's the way we,
that's the way we do it. We let the costumes do the work.
Frog, big boots and a frock.
Yeah.
Sometimes he does things which are have a kind of feminine, I wouldn't say charm, but quality. and plays very much so in the fact that, you know, he talks about himself as a man and a woman and all the rest of it.
Right.
But clearly the audience is in on the fact that that's a bloke.
Then we headed back up into the dress circle, where we were cautioned about something we would need to be very careful of, something that every proper theater should have.
We do have a theatre ghost.
Hmm.
Her name is the Grey Lady. And the story behind her goes that she was... this is where Damien's better on the history,
Yes. So you're, the site underneath this, pre the building of the theatre in 1744, was a hospital, basically, and church land. And so this was St. Peter's on the St. Leonard site. So immediately underneath the theatre was St. Peter's. So you see bits of old architecture and you'll see that's St. Peter's Church. And the whole site had in it a hospital which looked, cared for the infirm and the sick and so on and so forth. And the story of the Grey Lady is that she's a nurse, would have been a nun of some sort.
Uh-huh.
And that she had relations.
Brothers and sisters?
With a gentleman patient.
As one does.
A bed bath. And that she was then, you know, she was bricked up. And that she's now still part of this whole site. And that she's often seen in dressing room four. It's quite a common. And across, and across the back of the dress here, which leads straight through to dressing room four.
Rippy, do you want dressing room four?
Well, it depends.
She's a good ghost.
Ghost or an angry
ghost? She's a good ghost.
She's a good ghost.
She has relations with the male actors.
Is she a hands-on ghost?
Can we call her the white lady?
Grey lady.
It might be offensive to call her grey.
A ghost story with a happy ending. It's fantastic.
Not now, it's 13, I was telling them.
I have a feeling she's a grey lady because she looks grey.
Okay, I'll take dressing room five.
But that's maybe.
And does she do mischief, or is she just seen?
She's just, I'm a bit cynical with stuff like this, and I don't, and I don't always buy into it. But she's meant to be a good omen, and when she has been seen, she's been doing helpful things like mopping the floor and sweeping and
cleaning bedpans,
costume rails. Like, if you ask Brian, who's our stage doorkeeper, who I think is on tonight. He's, because he's had to do things overnight here in the past, you know, when there's been working overnight, he's had little things where he's had experiences of her. And he's not the kind of person you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. So he makes me believe it, but I'm still quite cynical about it.
There was one night years ago when Matt Noddings, the then production manager, myself, and one actor were last to leave the building, and we came out of dressing room four. And at that time, the stage door was at the back of the building. And we went out. And when we got to the back door, the actor said, I've left my shopping in, I'll just go and get it. So he went back, got the key, went up the stairs. We're doing a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. And he gone, and we were stood at the back door waiting.
And eventually I said, that's ridiculous. How long does it take to get to dressing room four and back? So I went up the stairs. Matt stayed at the back door. Went up the stairs and went into the dressing room. And he was in the corner on the floor, as white as a sheet, shaking. And he was always the first person out of the building after that. And when asked what was it, he just said, I wasn't in there alone. I'm never going to be in there on my own again. But I wasn't in there alone when I went in. I wasn't in there alone. And that was it. So, and he didn't. I never said anything about what had happened. He was just absolutely adamant. But when he went into that room, there was somebody else with him in the room, and it just freaked him completely. But he was a difficult actor.
Ah.
And I have a feeling that she might have just picked on him.
That's right.
Right. So let that be a lesson to you.
He was never alone, even in his own head. Right.
He was never alone with a ghost.
So enjoy your stay here, the York Theatre Royal.
Bye.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your backstage tour via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, theater ghost Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jamie O'Brien. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to everyone at BBC Radio York and to Damien, Anna, and all the folks over at the York Theatre Royal. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 288 864ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
You see, I'm sat here thinking, how can I get one over on these Americans? And then I thought, yes, I know, the Great British Football Team. GB team, we're in the Olympics. We're going to have some football, aren't we? Is that right, boys? Yes.
Yeah, they're going to be wearing pads and helmets.
You mean soccer, right?
Well, we call it football.
Yeah, okay. See, in our football, we do it right. We hold it with our hands.
Well, you've got David Beckham, who...
Here we do.
I hear. Has he been chosen yet? Do we know? Is he in the Olympic team? We hope he is. He's
an honorary American, actually, by now.
Yeah.
He's competing in the Who's Got the Best Hairdo competition.
And abs. Oh, my God.
Right? Boys, you need to calm down. Now, of course, this has obviously been a great success in the States. Have you had to adapt certain parts of it for our UK audience?
Less baseball, more cricket.
Oh, really?
Yes. Less football, more soccer. More darts and snooker and cheese rolling.
What do you think? Yeah. Well, yes, cheese rolling, you are right. Yeah. What do you think of darts? Do you have darts in America?
Magic darts.
We do. We don't show it on television. We just sort of play it when we're drunk in a bar.
And you know what the hockey is?
The what?
What? The jockey? Is that
like
jockey?
Is that like a googly?
Yeah, he rides a horse in a race. The jockey.
No, that's
the horse
a jockey.
Oh.
It's sort of where you stand. It's a line where you stand before you throw your dart.
Oh, okay. I knew that. I was just pretending like I didn't.
It's like the free throw line in basketball.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So never cross an jockey.
No. Yeah. Never.
In Yorkie.
Never.
Never. Never cross an jockey in Yorkie.
Have we mentioned where we're playing?
I was coming to this.
No, whoa. Right.
Whoa. So, hold on, Yorkie.
Yorkie. I mean, people are going to be exhausted. There is an interval. I'm assuming.
Yes, there has to be.
Okay.
Yes.
So
that's where we start to drink.
The more the audience drinks, the more talented we are.
And do you think people need a knowledge of sports to come along to the show?
Not at all.
We don't
have
it.
In fact, we like to say that, you know, if you like sports, you're going to like our show. And if you hate sports, you'll love our show.
I'd say you have to enjoy comedy. You need to bring a sense of humor, and that's about the only requirement.
Yeah, and clothing is
optional.
I think it's clothing optional at the York Theatre Royal. Oh, I'm sorry. Did we mention that we're playing at the York Theatre Royal?
Wednesday through Saturday? York Theatre Royal, Wednesday through Saturday? No, we haven't said that.
Two shows on Saturday? Really?
Yeah.
Reed, are you going to be there? I'll be there.
So where are we playing?
At the Theatre Royal.
Let her do her job.
She's going to throw an hockey on us.
No. You don't throw an hockey. You stand at the hockey.
On one. But you do throw a welly. There's welly tossing.
Yeah, welly wanging.
Welly wanging.
That just sounds wrong.
Yeah.
That sounds inappropriate.
Cheese rolling. Okay. Yeah, and
trout
also
tickling.
There's gurning.
Yes, we mentioned gurning. We mentioned gurning and cheese rolling.
Marvellous. It's got shinty.
A shinty?
Yeah, it's
Watch
a bit
it.
Like,
what are you saying?
Well, it's a bit like, it's a mixture between hockey and curling, but there's only 5 of you instead of 11 of you. And I think I'm right in saying you can't take your hand off your stick and your stick can't leave the ball.
Wow. That sounds pornographic, life. And thank you for that.
Those are words to live by.
The fact that I didn't know that makes me feel shinty.
Never let your wiki get sticky.
I think it might
like
be time for you to go.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.